sometimes I think it is a very good thing that I have had so many years of practice at showing only what I want to show on my face. And this was absolutely one of those times, because my first impulse was to shout, "Whoopee! Good girl!" and burst into lighthearted song. And so it was quite possibly one of the greatest demonstrations of acting skill our age has yet seen, when I managed instead to look shocked and concerned. "You're kidding," I said, thinking, "I really hope you're not kidding." "She stayed home from school today, resting," Deborah said. "I mean, she went through an awful lot." It apparently didn't occur to my sister that I had gone through even more, but nobody's perfect. "So around 2 o'clock, her mother went out to the store," she said. "And she comes back a little while ago, and Samantha was gone." Deborah shook her head. "She left a note. 'Don't look for me. I'm not coming back.' She ran, Dex. She took off and ran." I was feeling so much better that I actually managed to fight down the impulse to say, "I told you so." After all, Debs had refused to believe me when I told her Samantha had gone into cannibal captivity willingly, even eagerly, the first time. And since I was right about that, it made perfect sense that she would take off again at the first opportunity. It was not a terribly noble thought, but I hoped she found a good hiding place. Deborah sighed heavily and shook her head again. "I never heard of Stockholm syndrome so strong the victim ran back to the bad guys," she said. "Debs," I said, and now I really couldn't help it. "I told you, it's not Stockholm. Samantha wants to be eaten. It was her fantasy." "That's bullshit," she said angrily. "Nobody wants that." "Then why did she run away again?" I said. And she just shook her head and looked down at her hands. "I don't know," she said. She stared at her hands where they lay in her lap, as if the answer might be written on her knuckles. And then she straightened up. "It doesn't matter," she said. "What matters is where she went." She looked up at me. "So where would she go, Dex?" To be honest, I didn't really care where Samantha went, as long as she stayed there. Still, I had to say something. "What about Bobby Acosta?" I said, and it made sense. "Did you find him yet?" "No," she said, very grumpy, and she shrugged. "He can't stay lost forever," she said. "We're bringing way too much heat. Besides," she said, and she raised both palms, "his family has money and political clout, and they're going to figure they can get him off." "Can they?" I asked. Deborah looked at her knuckles. "Maybe," she said. "Fuck. Yeah, probably. We got witnesses who can connect him to Tyler Spanos' car, but a good lawyer could chop up those two Haitians in 2 seconds on the stand. And he ran from me, but that's not much either. The rest is guesswork and hearsay so far, and shit, yeah, I guess he could walk." She nodded to herself and looked at her hands again. "Yeah, sure, Bobby Acosta will walk," she said softly. "Again. And then nobody goes down for this." She studied her knuckles again, and then looked up at me. And her face was wearing an expression unlike anything I had ever seen before. "What is it?" I said. Deborah bit her lip. "Maybe," she said. She looked away. "I don't know." She looked back at me and took a deep breath. "Maybe there's something, you know," she said. "Something you could do about it."